Hey, this is a podcast. No, wait, it's a comedy podcast. Well, we tried to make it a comedy podcast. And it's not meant to offend anyone. So don't get offended, okay? And wait, there's something else. Oh, yeah. Listener discretion is advised.
Audiomatic presents Our Last Week.
Hi, Kunal.
Hi, Paul.
How are you, Kunal?
I'm very tired. I've been shooting in a warehouse in Greenwich. It's so sad to be in a beautiful place, but in a horrible place within a beautiful place. It's like, oh, it's so lovely. You're in London. You're in Greenwich. It's a beautiful place. You must go to Greenwich Market. But I'm in a warehouse in Greenwich.
Greenwich has a lot of greenery. And you find yourself in an enclosed space, in a place that is known for greenery. But you are doing fighting there, action sequence?
Well, yeah, it's sort of, it's funny action, yeah.
So think about it, right? You need to be in a warehouse. Imagine if you were just fighting with your co-actor in the middle of Regent's Park. The public would be worried, they'd be frowned upon, you might even be arrested.
No, I don't mind that, actually. I don't mind being, if it's a beautiful place, if you're in a lovely city, I want to be, I want to experience that city. I want to experience people giving me dirty looks in that city. Like,
yeah.
I was in Greece once and we went to this coastal town and we were shooting a song there. And it was one of those traditional Bollywood kind of songs where I have to stand on the rocks, where the waves are lashing. I'm standing on the rocks. Then I'm suddenly driving an ATV. And there's this girl behind me and I'm driving an ATV. And a crowd, of course, formed of Greek people,
Confused.
And sudden, confused. And then some young Greek girls came and said, "You're very cute." They actually found me cute because I was the star of the day, right? Like,
yeah,
I was the guy shot.
Yeah.
And there was, I was cute from no angle. I looked exactly the same. It's just that, but, and some of them were like abusing me and like, "You can't block this area. And you can't, what are you doing?" Then we were on a pier and there was all this, and it's a very tiny crew. So you kind of get lost in the sea of people, but it's still nice to deal with all of that. You're still in a place. You can still see your surroundings and all. Whereas if you're in another place and you're in a warehouse, you're in an enclosed little space, you might as well be in Film City or something in Goregaon, it doesn't make a difference.
Agreed. What I like about Bollywood shooting versus Hollywood shooting is Hollywood shooting will take permissions and shut down a whole city, pay off a whole village or town, clear it out. And Bollywood shooting will sneakily disrupt the daily life of that place. So citizens will be uninformed. So they'll wake up in the morning trying to live their life. And the middle of a town in Holland or Switzerland has been entirely taken over by an Indian film crew who just start doing things without permission.
Yeah.
So there's a baker trying to go sell his bread. There's a postman trying to deliver his paper. And suddenly in the middle of this quaint town, they're singing and dancing in the main city fountain. The mayor is panicking, So what I like is that we capture Europe on the sly. Before the police can come, we've taken all our footage and run. That's why a lot of our European sequences look quick. A lot of stuff that's shot in Piccadilly Circus, because it's probably done just before 5 o'clock in the morning, before actual people start showing up.
It's a heist, basically. It's a kind of heist.
It's basically
every Bollywood movie that shoots anywhere abroad is a kind of, let's steal a location and go away. So the prep is not, okay, we need these permissions, this, traffic, this, that, okay, then public, then we're going to have to block this area. This is going to be a control. It's the planning is, you see, you will come from here in this car. You will get off and we'll quickly take the shot from you and then we'll run. So the planning is basically a heist. It's a heist film. So every film that's shot is shot in a heist kind of way. So I think that the beautiful film that can be made is a film about a shoot being shot abroad.
Yeah.
About it's a heist movie of how we're going to steal a location.
Yeah.
It's not about jewels. It's not about this. It's like, see, we need a shot at Trafalgar Square. Okay, किसी को बोलना नहीं है. आप यहाँ से आएंगे. हाँ, हमारा कैमरा ना पीछे से गाड़ी का विंडो खोल के ऐसे टक 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 शॉट करेंगे. और आप फिर दौड़ के आप ना ट्यूब में घुस जाओ. और ट्यूब में वो आपके लिए वहीं पे ठहरा होगा. कॉस्ट्यूम चेंज करके आप वापस नेशनल गैलरी में आ जाओ. नेशनल गैलरी में हम घूम के आपका पूरा शॉट लेंगे. पूरा लोकेशन मिल जाएगा. समथिंग दैट इट्स ऑल अबाउट
नो वन. Nothing. No one.
Nothing. No one has been. Nothing has been done. So you steal all of this and then you leave.
And what will happen, Kunal, one day when they're trying to say shoot a shootout, okay? Two people, let's say their cars pull up at Piccadilly Circus, and two people get out and they're like, just 1 second way, we'll point guns at each other, and then run like a stolen shot of a face to face. And they do it, and then real police show up with real guns.
But this
and
has happened.
And then it's an actual face-to-face.
This happened on our shoot.
Amazing.
This happened on our shoot is that there was some sequence with some cop cars. And obviously, they're props, right? They're not real cop cars, but they were outside this pub or whatever. And suddenly, that pub's Facebook page blew up. And the community's Facebook page blew up, or whatever their thing, saying... massive police presence. problems that, like, it was like a big event that had happened, and then rumors started spreading, people started coming, you know, and figuring out what's happening. Huge police presence at the pub. So this is what happened, and then the police also showed up. And we were like, no, this is not your police, this is the fake police, this is another police. And then they went. But basically, this is what happened in small communities. This is how it's going to be, because nobody knows, right, that there's a shoot happening down at the pub.
Exactly. And also, the UK has become such a location for Indians to shoot. And I guess they have to use British policemen, that at some point, there'll be more acting policemen and acting police cars than real policemen and real police cars.
Yeah. I think already that's the case.
Yeah, it's going to be a disproportionate number.
And also, I think a lot of the people now in the actual police are a lot of immigrants now, or people of or descent from other countries as well. So
the head of London Metropolitan Police is a man called Neil Basu, who was born in Calcutta.
So exactly what I'm saying. So I'm saying, because we want the stereotypical white policeman in our films... Then you can't go there, because...
You can, you'd have to fly them from Bombay.
From Bombay, yeah. Yeah.
Because that actor who plays the white policeman is currently playing the cruel viceroy or the governor general.
Yeah.
He gets more work here.
In a
so
Telugu
you have to
fly
him back to be a white policeman in his own country.
In his own country, yeah.
Yeah, you have to go where the work is, basically.
Correct.
Kunal.
Yes.
My first conundrum, a bit of an odd conundrum. I went to a medical shop recently, and a tiny mom and pop medical shop, like one of those family owned. It said Krishna Medical Stores or whatever. And usually in these small pharmacies in India, there's a photograph of a man, an older man with a mala around his neck, a garland around his neck, who I assume to be the proprietor of the place,
Right.
I assume he's sort of the father of the place.
Right.
The main benefactor.
Hmm.
And in the one that I went to, there was, the one I attended, I inquired, is this the owner of the place? Is this the main guy? And the owner of the shop said, no, sir, he's got nothing to do with this medical shop. He's somebody, don't worry about him. Don't worry about him. He's just someone. And I got really confused. I was like, why would they have a photo of a guy framed with a garland around his neck who's not the owner or the father or the grandfather or the patriarch? And imagine if in Indian households there were framed photographs of people with a garland around them and you were not sure who that person was. It'll make you wonder, like, Who do you think it is? Like, who do you think... What is going on?
Well, I I think that apart from ancestors, you know, people who, I mean, just your forefathers or, you know, family, people do have spiritual gurus, like spiritual yes. guides. And apart from gods, of course, they have pictures of gods, they have pictures of holy men, and they have spiritual guides. A lot of people say, he is my guru or she is my guru.
It could be like that kind of thing. He's like a pharmacy's spiritual guru.
He's a spiritual guru of that pharmacy, or of that the family who owns or runs that pharmacy. So I've seen a lot of places where there'll be this like a random guru. You know, like I've walked into many houses where you don't recognize this spirit, like, and you're trying to look for similarity between the family members and the photo frame, and it looks nothing like them.
Nothing.
So they have he or she has no relation to the family, but they're like a spiritual guide, which is fair enough. The only thing that happens is that sometimes when the house changes hands or the shop changes hands, sometimes they don't remove that frame out of respect. Yeah. Ki ye kahin nahi jayega.
Yeah.
Ye kahin nahi jayega. Ye inka haath hai isme, to ye yahin rahega. And they put a warning on isko hatana nahi hai.
And it's such a lovely Indian phrase, inka haath hai isme, which translates to he has a hand in this.
He has a hand in this.
We don't know what this is. You know, like this.
Yeah.
This could be anything.
It could be anything, but it's in this place's existence and the fact that, you know, business ran here and it ran sort of successfully or whatever, or in our sort of journey. So then the next person that comes in has to adopt that also as part of the place.
That photo has to remain.
They don't want to face the wrath. You know, and a lot of our thing is avoiding the wrath of, like, we don't know how powerful this spiritual guru or guide is. Now, if I remove that, you know, what is going to happen? What is going to befall? What is going to, you know, what events? It's better you just leave it, na?
Just leave it, yeah.
Leave it. Just leave it there. So the shop might even exist with some random spiritual guide who you might not have anything to do with, but you're just too afraid to remove it off the wall.
Correct.
That could be it.
And a lot of time goes in trying to figure out who that person is, you know?
Hmm. Because it could have been, the shop could have changed hands 3-4 times.
Yeah.
So and many multiple gurus could have come over there.
I said, you know, and he could be the guru of aspirin. He could be the guru of anything.
Anything.
Stamlo 5, which is a blood pressure medication. He could be the guru.
I know Stamlo, yeah.
Yeah. So he could be the guru of a range of things. But he's kept that. And I kept guessing, if he's not the father, did he have any role in the pharmacy? And they kept telling me, don't worry about him.
Hmm.
It's not your concern. You just buy your Pepto-Bismol and leave. This is not your concern.
Correct.
You know? So I wonder how many Indian photos are unexplained in how many houses?
Many.
Quick conundrum, Kunal, about black cats.
Hmm.
And my conundrum of black cats is this. My car was about to cross a black cat the other day.
Hmm.
And my driver sort of screeched to a halt when the black cat crossed. And he refused to take the car further because he didn't want to cross the path of a black cat that has just run across our car. Old superstition, I assume global superstition, not just Indian superstition.
Hmm.
But what he said to me was fantastic. He was trying to force a taxi that was in front of us to go in front of us.
Jao.
And that guy also saw the black cat. He's like, I'm not going, you go first. So what is this Indian logic that we have of literally throwing the other person towards harm's way? So say the superstition about black cats is true and some misfortune will befall on us. What is it that we want to throw the other guy under the bus?
Yeah, the thing is, see, if we lived in a society where we felt, you know, that we're looking out for each other, that road would have been closed. You know, that road would have been shut down. Like, we're going to have to now build another road.
Yeah.
Because nobody should have to face the misfortune, you know.
Yeah.
We're all in this together.
Yeah.
Let's shut this road. We'll build another road.
Yeah.
You know, but we don't live in that society. You know,
correct.
We live in a society where we feel, why should I take the bullet? This guy will take it. Let him suffer the consequences of, you know, crossing paths with a black cat. So I think it's avoidance, right? Like we're avoiding, but we are basically using others as our shield, you know?
Correct. And so what we're saying is that if there is some danger or bad luck to befall on us, let it befall on my friend and neighbor, not me.
Mm.
You know, we're Indians, as long as I'm not the Indian that's in trouble.
And the beauty of that is that then I don't need to progress that much.
Yeah.
Because others, because when misfortune affects others, I don't have to succeed too much then, you know?
Correct.
Because then in comparison, I'm still doing better.
Correct. Because someone in front of you has fallen and has been run over or will have bad luck on them. Say, for example, if our podcast was investigated by authorities. As good Indians, I will constantly try to throw you under the bus and say he's anti-national.
It was his idea. Yeah.
It was his idea. And if you had any sense, you would try to throw me under the bus.
Paul got me into this. I didn't even know these people, this thing. He dragged me. He begged me to come and do this.
And half the things I've said, they're not my voice. Check. You double check.
It's not even me. Yeah. Just see.
So our whole goal, because the way as sensible Indians will think about it, is like if some misfortune falls on me for this podcast, it will. But he should suffer first.
And more.
After that, whatever remains, if some bad luck sprinkles
little
on me,
suffering
that's my bad luck. Yeah. That's my bad luck. But I should throw him under the bus first.
Yeah.
So when a black cat crosses, rather than I'm saying, chal, whatever happens, happens, I'll cross. Or turning around and saying, I don't want to cross the part of the black cat.
Use another route. Yeah.
And tell the other taxi also turn around. No.
I want to go here only.
Yeah, but after you've gone.
Yeah. You go now.
You go. It's like a dark, scary tunnel with ghosts.
Yeah.
It's not like we want to turn around. We want to send the friend in.
Yeah. You get eaten.
He suffers, gets eaten. Then I'll go and I'll get eaten a little bit.
Correct.
But I'll feel good that my friend got fully eaten.
And maybe that guy is full. You know, maybe.
He'll leave me alone. Yeah.
He'll leave me alone.
Yeah. And I think that is how we are. Like good citizens, you know, just by throwing each other under the bus. Kunal, we have Patreon subscribers and we have a couple of lovely Patreon questions.
Yes.
And there's one great question that I want to read out to you. And it's basically our Patreon listeners are becoming better than our conundrum. They're becoming better people than us. This is from Ashish. And Ashish said, we celebrate Navratri in our society every year. So this year, as usual, all the residents of the society gathered down every night to play Garba and had a small get-together every night.
Nice.
Yesterday when I was down, I saw a kid around 3 years old coming to me. I entertained him for a bit and he seemed to have a lot of fun too. But just as he was leaving my side to join his friends, he bit me hard on my hand and ran away. The most infuriating thing was that while running away, he was laughing continuously all the while, looking at me straight in the eyes. I can literally see his teeth marks on my hand while writing this. Now you can imagine how hard he bit. I want to take revenge, capital letters. Please tell me how I can take my revenge, capital letters. Also, just FYI, I have a 6-year-old, just in case you have any ideas on how to use him for my revenge. Excellent conundrum. Excellent.
It's very, very good.
So, you had a strategy about this. You said that this guy should play the long game.
I feel that it's a long game one. I don't think that it's a short-term sort of revenge thing. I think that this is a grudge that he needs to hold for a long time.
Yeah.
And because, see, you can't get into, obviously, it's a child. You can't get into physical violence. You can't get into, you know, like puncturing his cycle or, you know, stealing a tiffin or, you know, I mean, these things you can't do. But what you can do is hold a nice, strong grudge. Play a very long game. So,
like maybe get your son to, because he's bitten his hand and it hurt and he wants revenge.
I think he might need to get his son to befriend this child.
Yeah. You know,
and earn his trust. And then when they're about 16, 17, you know, be good friends and all of that. And then kind of steal his girlfriend or something.
Yeah.
You know? Or you know, or getting him into some trouble in college or get him caught cheating. I'm saying like something very... or just drop him as a friend suddenly for no reason. It has to be one of those great
psychological
expectations.
Torture. The biting should long be inside. Term. Long term.
It should be. It's like a long one.
Yeah.
It's a great expectations. You know, I'm training now. Your son's training should start from now.
Yeah.
You just feed him slowly, slowly every day. Yeah, you must be friends. And but just watch out. And you know what I'm saying? Like, you'll have to figure out your path through the next 10 to 12 years. And then just see how you can finally take a proper, a nice chunk of, you know, revenge. Where it should end in tears.
Yeah, 100% tears. Or imprisonment. Or both.
Or something like that.
Because, see, what should happen is like, maybe at some point do something so the child is unemployable. You know? And don't reveal to him that this is in revenge for the bite, because the child will forget about the bite.
That's in the final scene, you know. Tell him
when he's 85. When the child is in his 60s and this guy's 85.
You call him.
And the guy's like, you know, I failed in life, uncle. I'm a failure. So let me tell you why you're a failure. Remember you bit me once during Garba when you were 3?
It was all a plan, my boy.
The rest of your life, I've
been plotting your downfall.
Plotting your destruction. Yeah. And now you're destroyed thanks to me. So Ashish, we love the conundrum. Excellent Patreon conundrum. But please go in for the long game.
Long game.
Like, you can't hit him. That's not fair. No? Just go in for the long game. Quick conundrum, Kunal. Final quick conundrum from Jasim. Hi, Anubhav and Kunal. My Twitter feed was full of everything happening in Israel and Gaza. It was impacting my mental health. Twitter has a wonderful feature where you can mute words and it won't show your tweets containing words. So I muted 100 words, like Israel, Gaza, war, death. Now my Twitter feed doesn't show these topics anymore. It has literally become like a Twitter page for kids. It's now filled with funny videos of cats, dogs, and humans doing amusing things. This got me thinking. Does this mean that being an adult is all about discussing stronger and more disturbing topics? Please share your thoughts. Yes. The answer is yes. This is a world of scary and more disturbing topics. But we were having this conversation. Without information, if you don't have information about world events, you were saying, why do we need information about world events? My theory is if you don't, then some point in time, if some people are coming to shoot you, because world events will eventually have an impact on you, and they're coming to shoot you in the face, at least you'll know why they're coming. Because, you know, you've read about the news, and some people who are ahead of in the news might be able to escape also. But you don't know because you don't read anything, so you'll die. Because you've been looking at photos of cats and dogs.
Well, you know, the thing is that I'm a little bit torn on this one, you know. I just feel that a very happy life can be led. I know that, you know, that you know, everything that you do is affected and impacted by decisions that people take at many different levels, and every geopolitical thing has an impact on. I know this, but I'm saying that at some level you just feel like, you know, if I don't know any of this, is my life going to be better? Like, do I need all these thoughts? Do I need all this constant reminder of all the problems in the world? And I think the point is very valid that is that all that being an adult is about? You know, like, is it just about knowing about all the horrible things or all the more serious things, or, you know, what's happening with Russia and Ukraine and what's happening with America and all the multiple wars they fought and what's happening with India and Pakistan and what's, I mean, like, if I don't have this information, I'm still growing, right? I'm still an adult. I'm still going to then just have health problems and then die, you know? Like,
I think most people learn things, have this information, not because, I think so they don't look stupid in public. It is a lot about perception. And I think not enough people own up to the fact that I don't know things. You know, like, nobody wants to own up to not knowing. You know, like, people are like, if someone says you're fat. Someone's like, I'm not fat, man. They laugh it off. But if you tell someone, you know, what's going on in Gaza, and they're like, I don't know, man, I don't care. People will ridicule you, you know, like, people will make fun of you. So I think people give some sort of opinion because they don't want to, somehow knowledge is associated with ridicule. Like, if you don't know, people will think you're illiterate. So that's why I think people learn things and then have opinions on things.
But I'm just saying that an ill-informed decision, opinion, okay, completely ill-informed opinion, as opposed to a very nuanced opinion, very nuanced, okay, and very, like, you know, trying to understand it from the history and the culture and the atrocities on whatever ends and everything. And then finally, you hold these two opinions, okay? One is like just completely ignorant. They're like, yeah, this is all bad. Oh, this is all good. This is all great. Any opinion. It's opinion. It's just my opinion. Like, it's not like it's not impacting anything. It's not doing anything for the situation. It's just me and my image of myself. And now, oh, it's a well-researched, well-thought-out opinion, as opposed to I can hold as strong an opinion without the information, and both of them don't have an impact. Because
agreed,
we're just agreed,
but I'm saying illiterate opinion is what makes the world function. I mean, what do? We provide illiterate opinion. We don't know anything.
Illiterate opinion. We don't know shit.
What should actually be the right way to live? We should both be quiet, right? Actually, it's our listeners who have the interesting conundrums. We should just let them have these conversations with each other. We should be like Facebook, just provide a platform for intelligent people. Instead, the dumbest people involved, like you and me, we are giving our opinions on conundrums. We don't know anything, right? But now imagine if this podcast had some awkward silence where actually we said intelligent things like, this is a very nuanced issue. I have no opinion on this. Kunal said, no, this is too nuanced for me. I haven't read anything.
I don't know enough.
40 minutes then would just be this.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. This is 10 seconds of silence. Imagine 40 minutes of this.
Yeah.
You know, your listeners will come and set us on fire. So listeners are saying, give us some shit opinion. The world is only filled with stories. So give us shit. They don't have to be true.
But this podcast is testament to shit opinion and ill-informed opinion.
Yeah.
Right? So this is, so I'm saying that we are the masters of not knowing enough about a thing and having opinions.
This is what I'm saying. And we are giving this lovely listener, we're giving him flowers, we're giving him Gaza, you know?
Yeah.
That he should be shutting us down also. This has been our last week.
It has.
We love you, listeners. This was our, these were our Patreon subscribers. So thank you, Patreon subscribers. If you want to be a Patreon subscriber, please do. We're at patreon.com/ourlastweek. We love you. We will see you live on the 1st of December this year. More details very soon. And if you want to stay quiet, you've just been born in the wrong world at the wrong time.
Yep.
Exactly.
You were listening to Our Last Week, produced by Akanksha Kadam and Avdhoot Khanolkar, hosted by Anubhav Pal and Kunal Roy Kapoor.